Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you using quality microphones and interfaces from Rode Microphones. Australian owned and operated, Rode products are world-class audio equipment. If you're creating a podcast or making music, you need Rode on your side. Rode Microphones, exclusive audio sponsor of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, the world's biggest sports carnival kicks off in Tokyo-vid, Appy Coruscant admits to people smuggling, and Margaret Court announces the cure to COVID. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Full Credit the Boys live from the Craig Gower Quarantine Studios. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast, Instagram FCTTB podcast, all one word. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right, well, kind of, on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who this week declared a national emergency in Oatley. He's the early favourite to light the flame in Brisbane 2032. And tonight, he's wearing his favourite yellow T-shirt that he likes to wear when he punches horses. Welcome, Sid.
Yes, well, thank you, former. Hello, Australia. Hello, world. And what an exciting week it's been with the Olympics kicking off in Tokyo-vid. And hasn't that hashtag caught on, former? It's gone more viral than the Delta strain, Tokyo-vid. It's hard to say, but easy to get traction on Twitter. But the Olympics kicked off this week and it has been fantastic, and the Channel 7 commentary has been world class. I won't hear otherwise. I actually had a bit to do with it, former, the Channel 7 commentary. I was employed by 7 to be in Bruce McAvaney, Joanna Griggs and the other blokes' ear, feeding them info as the athletes entered the stadium at the opening ceremony. I've got to be honest, it didn't go as well as I'd planned, but have a listen to how it went down.
Full credit to the Boys.
All right, Bruce, just talk about the stadium or something. We've got a pad here for
just
a bit.
Thinking about the stadium, Joe, and
because the United Arab Emirates is up next, and I know fuck all about them. They've got some big buildings like the Mia Khalifa, and they've got camel races, so just keep padding while I Wikipedia some shit about them.
As we come to
hold with me, Bruce, I've got some.
Famous for so many things, including those really tall buildings and all those camels that run fast, don't
Bruce.
They?
And Yusuf
Amatushi, he's a swimmer, the flag bearer.
Yeah, good work, Joe. At least we got you here. At least you're a professional. All right, let's keep it positive, guys. We've got some tricky ones coming up. So let's just focus on the positives of each country.
Starting in Barcelona, as you said, the humanitarian crisis in Yemen remains the worst in the world.
Mate, what did I just say? Humanitarian crisis? Fuck's sake. Mate, we've got Israel coming up. Say something positive about Israel. They won 2 bronze medals at the last Olympics.
That really has featured in both the highs and the lows of Olympic history. They won a gold medal in 17 appearances, just the one.
Yeah,
men's sailboard, windsurfing back
good
in
job,
Athens.
Joe.
But of course also tragically had 11 members of the Israeli delegation murdered in the 1972 Munich massacre.
Yeah, that's the way to keep it up, beat Joe. What are you going to talk about next, the Holocaust? Dead set, you guys aren't listening to me. I'm fucking out of here.
You went straight from there to the South Korean coverage, and didn't that take off?
Yeah, I thought since I was on the commentary books, I'd go over there and keep the coin rolling in. I thought I was pretty good for South Korean telecast.
It certainly made a splash. We'll get onto that later.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Bibi Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Yeah, first story comes from the Kapiti Courier, and it's a top US Catholic Church official resigns after cell phone data used to track him. The top administrator of the US Conference of Catholic Bishops resigned after a Catholic media site told the conference it had access to cell phone data that appeared to show he was a regular user of Grindr, the queer dating app, and frequented gay bars, obviously to spread the word of the Lord, Sid.
Yeah, business trip it was.
Pastor Richard Shurtleff has since last fall been the General Secretary of the USCCB, a position that coordinates all administrative work and planning for the conference, which is the country's network for Catholic bishops. As a priest, he takes a vow of celibacy. Catholic teaching opposes sexual activity outside heterosexual marriage.
Optional. He thought that was optional.
The resignation stemmed from reporting in The Pillar, an online newsletter that reports on the Catholic Church. Tuesday afternoon, after Pastor Shurtleff's resignation became public, The Pillar reported that it had obtained information based on the data Grindr collects from its users and hired an independent firm to authenticate it. Apparently, there were suspicions about Pastor Shurtleff in a near miss on a Pan American flight late last year. He was taking a boys' Catholic school to Hawaii for a choir singing competition. The pilot of the flight apparently asked the pastor if he'd like to come up to the cockpit. The pilot said, "Look, Father, we've got a fuel leak and there's a chance we're not going to make it. I've got two parachutes. I'm taking one and you can have the other." Pastor Shurtleff apparently said, "But what about the children?" The pilot said, "Fuck them." And he said, "Well, I have time for that."
It's an oldie but a goodie.
Later on, after the plane safely landed in Hawaii, one of the choir boys caught the priest masturbating in his hotel room. He said, "What are you doing, Father?" He said, "It's called masturbating. You'll be doing this soon." He said, "Why, Father?" He said, "Because my wrist is killing me."
He's in the shit, old Pastor Shurtleff, the old man shagger. But what about the publication, The Pillar newspaper? What a great read that is. I saw this story in the script and I immediately signed full credit to the boys up to their online newspaper, The Pillar. It's a great read. Did you know, I was glancing through some articles today. Did you know?
Is there any sex facts?
That's what it's lacking. You can email them about it because you are going to get bombarded, my friend. I used your email address to sign up to this mob. But did you know, I was reading today in The Pillar that the Pope is trying to get priests to change it up a bit at Mass. The great man wants to make going to church more exciting. And in an unfortunate turn of phrase, the Catholic Church has said it's trying to make church more appealing as it wants to get kids back to church. I bet it does.
Not a good start, I've got to be honest. FCTTV. Fine. 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 Yeah, next story comes from the Nambucca Heads Herald. Miss Butt Fitness reveals why she gave up sex to get competition ready.
What is Miss Butt Fitness? I know Miss Bum Bum.
Well, I think this is the poor man's version, the Aldi version.
Yeah, right.
It's in the middle aisles anyway. Miss Butt Fitness star Vanessa Freitas has opened up about her sex life after being picked as a contestant for the competition. The 29-year-old was chosen by the organisation of Miss Butt as one of the representatives of the new fitness category of the contest in 2022, Miss Butt Fitness. The model has admitted that she made one big sacrifice ahead of the competition, sex.
No.
She said she ditched sex ahead of the competition so that she could be in peak physical condition. Vanessa commented, "The energy spent during sex can be directed to physical exercise, improving our performance."
Are you listening to this, Appy Coruscant?
Joy Arrow.
Listen up to Miss Butt Fitness.
"It was through this sex diet that I managed to get my best shape." The brunette bombshell also revealed that her labia dried up. Sorry, her libido dried up.
You're on fire this evening.
Vanessa caught the attention of the organisers of the contest with her presentation, inspired by the now extinct Victoria's Secret Parade of Angels. Talking about the gorgeous look, Vanessa said, "It's very common for women who work out to be accused of losing their femininity. I wanted to show that is not true," as she tucked a straight cag back in.
What an inspirational woman she is, former. She's really, really working hard to break that glass ceiling and overthrow the patriarchy. And let's be honest, what a great ass she has.
And that's all I have to say about that. Full credit to
the boys. Next story comes from the Glen Innes Witness. Nature lovers horrified as dogging bird box appears in a beauty spot.
It's one of my new favourite phrases. A dogging bird box. This is great. Tell me more.
Oh, if you hurry down to Bunnings, there's about 10 of them still down there. I bought 20 of the Savi.
A dogging bird box. That sounds great.
Oh, Fair Dinkum will be on the block this year. Visitors to a... Scotty Kim.
He'll be marked down if you don't have a dogging bird box in the yard.
That's not a dogging bird box. Visitors to a popular wildlife reserve have been horrified after a dogging bird box filled with free condoms, not three, free,
free.
And wet wipes was erected in their beauty spot. The box was set up by sexual health campaigners who wanted to encourage safer sex in known dogging hotspots.
This is great.
I think you can get an app for that. However, the arrival of the new condom outlet on Two Ball Island near Leon Sea in Essex has sparked concern from walkers and cyclists. Cyclist Sid, who'd have guessed middle-aged men in Lycra who leave their house early on Saturday mornings would be around a dogging hotspot.
They never look fit. It's like you're riding that bike all the time. I'm sure they're stopping off in the bush.
The only muscle I can see is getting strangled downstairs. Like, check, the Ripper's got hold of it. Brooks, nothing worse than sitting there having a latte at a cafe on a Saturday morning. Some bloke just brushes past you with his schlong smashed into the side of a Lycra pair of pants and his gut hanging over the top of it. Oh, no, that's me. Brooks Sexual Health Service, who is behind the condom and wet wipe box, stood by their decision to install the outlet, claiming it's a tried and tested method that is taking place all over the country. Now, one of the locals there, Richard Rawcox, 78, who was a regular and proud visitor of the nature reserve. He'd be wrapped with that, Richard. Thanks, guys. Says the council-funded bird boxes are a waste of money. Richard, who was suspiciously unsurprised that the area was known to be a dogging hotspot, said, "I think it's unnecessary and will end up being a waste of money. Most people in 2021 are aware of diseases and the problems unprotected sex can cause. In Two Ball Island, there's so much dog poo littered, we don't want anything else littering the grounds as well."
That's what he thinks dogging causes.
"If people are having sex in public, I doubt they're bothered where they put their rubbish. I'm dead against it." Littering, that is. Dogging's fine.
Yeah, he makes a good point.
A Brooks spokesperson said, "As part of our health promotion service, Brooke carries out a number of different outreach initiatives to residents throughout the borough, including providing condoms for members of the public to encourage safer sex. While we do not encourage people engaging in public sex, we have to acknowledge that it takes place and will continue to do so whether there are condoms available or not. One of our initiatives has been the installation of sexual health bird boxes providing free condoms. This is a tried and tested method which already takes place all over the country and is a key tool in reducing unwanted transmission of sexually transmitted infections." In possibly unrelated story from England, Sid, the grounds of Buckingham Palace have been opened up to bird watchers and people who want to have a picnic.
Look, I've written 7 letters to my local council of late to get free frangers in Oatley Park. Just a little shelf in the bushland there with some lube, some Johnnies and some wet wipes, and maybe a stack of pornos. I've told them that this is a...
How good's finding a stack of pornos in the bush?
How weird.
What happened to those days?
Remember when that used to happen? That's a weird thing that used to happen. Anyway.
Kids wouldn't know that.
I've contacted Oatley Council.
1978 bush porn. When I say bush porn, not because you're in the bush reading it.
But it did have that in it.
It's got a real pop-up book feel to it.
I've contacted Oatley Council. I've told them that Oatley Park is a hotspot for dogging. But they keep sending me letters saying one bloke parked in the Oatley car park in his lavender starlet with no pants on does not constitute a dogging hotspot.
Or as they said, one swallow doesn't make a summer. NRL round review brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yeah, round 19, Sid. It's come around so fast. I mean, geez, I don't know where this year's gone. Started on Thursday night when the Raiders were too good for the Eels, winning 12 points to 10. For the first time in 2021, the Raiders have won 3 on the trot and their season is alive again as they held off the Eels, who are coming home with a wet sail. much like Ricky's pants as he sat watching his team trying to defend a lead and shake off the Faders tag. It was nil all at the break, but straight after halftime, the NRL Schools ambassador, Corey Harawira Naira, scored a try and was quickly followed in by Jordan Rapana to hand the Raiders a 12-0 lead. But with four to go, it was 12 points to 10 when Fijian flyer trademark Mika Sivo crossed over out wide, but the Taurus, Clint Gutherson, missed the conversion to leave it at 12-10 at the full time.
Yeah, this was a good game of footy. No one wants to see 40-0 halftime scorelines, former, except maybe Ned Philanders. But this was an old-school battle in the first half. Nil all at halftime. It had some big hits, disallowed tries, some good stuff. As you say, the Raiders took a 12-0 lead, but the Eels hit back with a fantastic try. Dick Fingers Ferguson juggled a bomb, but surprised the Canberra defence when he actually caught it. They were so surprised that they forgot to tackle him, and he burst through, ran down the field, put a kick through for Brown to score. A great try.
It was a good try, wasn't it?
It was fantastic footy. Then a try to Sivo saw the Eels back down by two with 3 minutes to go. And right on the full-time siren, this is what I want to talk about, former. Sivo went over again in the corner, but was ruled to be put into touch by a flying Rapana in what was 100% a penalty try and should have seen Parramatta win. Mm. Para got robbed. I don't like the rule, but it's a rule. Rapana made no attempt to tackle Sivo. He just threw his body at him in a shoulder charge. It's a penalty try every day of the week. What do you reckon?
Well, I don't like the rule myself, mate. They did get robbed, but it's Parramatta, so play on. Jordan Rapana started the game as the Raiders' fifth fullback this season and their fourth choice overall against the Eels. And dead set slayed them, Sid. He ran for 208 metres. He had two line breaks and 11 tackle busts to please his coach no end. It shouldn't be forgetting that Charles Nickel Clockface started the season as Ricky's number one choice. When he got injured, Caleb Akins got the nod. However, he was axed in favour of Bailey Simonson, who then suffered a toe injury. That opened up an opportunity for rookie sensation, this guy. I'm a savage. Yeah. Classy, bougie, Xavier Savage, who was brilliant before being ruled out of the season last week. So here we are, Jordan Rapana.
And he was in everything, Rapana, including a shoulder charge to save the game when it should have been a penalty try. But Ricky Stewart was full of praise for the refs. Surprise, surprise. Not awarding a penalty try. And he was also full of praise for Rapana. Here's our Ricky update for this week. An unusually happy Ricky Stewart.
To win wine press conference time. Here's Ricky, Ricky, Ricky.
Here we
Ricky.
Go.
Ricky, you must be proud of your team tonight.
Yeah, I was very proud of the effort. Short turnaround and the amount of injuries we got. You know, if any young kid is looking to be a Raider, you know, forever as I've known as a young boy supporting the Canberra Raiders, that's always been in the jumper. That type of that type of want to win.
Rapana was amazing tonight, Ricky. What a game.
Yep, he was.
I don't even edit it. It's amazing.
Friday saw the Sydney City Roosters too good for the Newcastle Knights, who were all shades of brown, winning 28 points to 8. The Roosters have defeated the Knights by 20 points despite a slow start, Sid. It took half an hour to warm up before Sydney put on a sparkling 50-minute spell in which the momentum built and the Knights had no answer, especially to the brilliance of James Tedesco in the second half. In the battle of the fullbacks, Kalen Ponga was kept quiet for the Knights while Freddie Tedesco kept creating opportunities in attack as his team went on to win the game.
Yeah, Freddie Tedesco was enormous in this game, former.
No.
I'm still not mad that we let him go and kept Jordan Rankin, but the Knights... The Knights were all over the Rankin. Yeah, he'll be good. I think he's playing at Parramatta still this year. But anyway, the Knights were all over the Roosters early in this one. It was an easy try to Saifidi from a pass from Saifidi through some poor goal line defence from the Chooks. Saw the Knights score first. They were up 8-0 and Knights fans were hitting the Woodstock Bourbons early way too early as it panned out. Even losing Ikavalu and Billy Smith during the game didn't stop Freddie Tedesco and the Roosters from piling on 28 unanswered points to smash a very brown Newcastle side. They fell in a heap.
As you said, I'm glad you mentioned Billy Smith. He might be the unluckiest player in the NRL, the young rooster. He suffered yet another injury after the centre limped off the field in his side's clash with the Knights on Friday night. The 21-year-old came from the field after the opening try in the 13th minute with what looked to be an ankle injury. Smith has had a horror run with injuries since making his NRL debut in 2019. Don't forget, he was meant to take Latrell Mitchell's centre spot for the Roosters in 2020, but he tore his ACL at training during pre-season. He's meant to undergo his second knee construction in 18 months after that. Then he suffered a shoulder injury before this season kicked off. He finally made his NRL return in round 17 last week, or the week before, I should say, and was so impressive that he was selected ahead of veteran centre Josh Morris for Friday's clash in what was his fifth NRL game in 19 years.
It's been a strange season for the Roosters, full of injuries. They've lost Brett Morris, Cordner and Friend to retirements due to injuries. Suali, Keary and Collins for the season through injuries. And now two more out of this game. The fact that they are still in fifth place with 12 wins from 18 games is an incredible effort that shows how well the club is run with twice the salary cap of other teams.
So it shows how piss weak the competition is.
Isn't it?
The second game on Friday saw the Melbourne Storm just clinch a win over the North Queensland Cowboys 20 points to 16. The Storm scratched their way to their 15th win on the trot with a try in the 72nd minute as the Cowboys made them work all the way to the full-time siren. It was 10-6 to the Storm at halftime before an early try to the Cowboys put the Melbourne Storm on notice, Sid. But the Storm haven't been beaten in Queensland for 4 years, and they showed that winning is a habit for the purple team up there in Queensland.
Yeah, they're a good side, the Storm. They're actually my tip to win
good
the comp
sort,
again
Jennifer
this year.
Hawkins, not a bad sort.
Not a bad sort. No, Jen. Yeah, they're my tip to win the comp again this year.
Put some
cash on that if you want a rough punt. But there were some strange refereeing decisions in this game, Former. I'll need you to explain the rules to me. Twice, tries were disallowed due to a lead runner interfering with the defence when no defending players were interfered with. It was a joke.
Yep.
Kyle Felt would have scored a try if Josh Hadakar didn't tackle him in the air, but it was just a penalty for tackling him in the air. Don't know why that wasn't a penalty try. And the human cyborg, Hess, was held up over the line for dead set a good 8 minutes.
Oh, what about that?
Then he put the ball down right in front of the ref, and it was awarded. But then an absolute gridiron pass from the Cowboys was allowed for the Bradley try to keep him in it at the end. The Cows took the Storm all the way in this game, but it wasn't to be, even with the refs on their side. The Cows going down in a tight one in the end.
When you talk about tries, it was a real bizarre night, Sid. For the try-scoring stats of this game, it finished at 4-3. Both teams had 2 tries disallowed each, while Josh Adakar scored a double. The Fox scored his 100th ever NRL try in his 120th game, while Kyle Felt also knocked up his 100th try in 149 games. And former Tiger, as you said, Kane Bradley scored his first ever NRL try in his first ever NRL game.
Yeah, from a pass that was 11 metres forward, but whatever. That's now 6 losses on the trot for the Cows. Coach Cranky went into this game with 32-year-old hooker Jake Granville as fullback.
What about that?
A position.
He went all right, but.
Oh, he did. And to be fair, it's a position he played at Wynnum Manly 14 years ago. It was a coaching masterstroke that put old Sid Punts straight on the app, the Bluebet app, putting him as first try scorer in this match. It was ridiculous odds, and as it turned out, an absolutely ridiculous bet. But Coach Cranky seems to like throwing up strange coaching manoeuvres when all he really has to do to fix the Cowboys' problems is play Tau Malolo for more minutes and pick this guy. Just pick this guy.
Look out, here comes the condo man.
The condom man.
Did you say James Tau Malolo?
I did mention your Jason. Boyfriend.
Jason.
That's your pet name for him.
I wish I knew how to quit you. I wish I knew how to quit you.
You or James, I don't mind. Saturday saw the Bunnies. Well, they scraped home. They fell over the line to beat the Warriors 60 points to 22. In a game that garnered more than a point a minute, the Bunnies have annihilated the Warriors in 11 tries to 4 spanking. It was 34 points to 16 at halftime, and both teams went on with their attacking mindset to give the Bunnies their 15th win of the year. While the potent attack of the Rabbitohs was impressive, Wanya Bennett was absolutely filthy after the game with the 4 tries his team conceded, labelling them as soft, and rated his team's overall effort a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, particularly on the defence anyway. It's not the actual numbers. It's the concern. It's the way we're giving up soft tries.
These cagey old soup bones, Bennett. They dead set smashed the Warriors, who have, to be fair, clocked off for the season. They're probably only going to win one more game this season, the Warriors. That's probably likely this week against the Tigers. But they've clocked off, and who could blame them? Tua Vasicek has pulled up stumps early. He's heading home. He's had enough.
I let another one go today too. He's going back over to New Zealand as well. Someone's having a kid or something.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? They've lost 7 in a row now. As the Bunnies, only a 6 out of a 10 old bones, 6 out of 10 old bones says, the Bunnies have now won 7 in a row and are looking the goods former.
Yeah, and they've been beaten twice by 50. So,
yeah.
You know,
it's a crazy mixed up comp this year.
If there's every year that stat's going to fall on its ass, it's this year. Returning from a rest after Origin, Latrell Mitchell gave a vintage performance against the Kiwi team. He had 162 metres running, 5 tackle busts, 4 offloads, 2 line breaks, a line break assist and a try assist, and scored the final try of the game in what was an almighty performance.
Well, I've always said he would become one of the great fullbacks in the game. Wanya Bennett and I could see his potential when others, like you, could not. And in this one, he was unstoppable.
But why does Freddie name him in centres in the State of Origin?
He's lost his mind. He's lost his mind. But I want to put this to you, former, without notice. Do you think that the Bunnies can challenge the Panthers or the Storm? They're a good team, the Storm, in the finals.
How's this? I think it'll be a Storm Rabbitohs grand final.
Interesting.
Manly cruised to an easy win to beat the West Tigers 44 points to 24.
It wasn't that easy.
It was a pretty simple 20-point victory against a patchy Tigers team who were good in patches. But bog stock ordinary in others. Just 5 minutes before halftime, the Tigers were up 12 points to 10 and looked a chance of an upset before the Seagulls scored 2 tries in the final 5 minutes of the first half and then 2 more straight after the break to end the hopes of the West side.
Yeah, look, this was a great game of footy, to be honest, for 30 minutes. And then I smashed my TV and didn't see the rest. Dewey, he was great yet again. Even Brooks was good in patches. Laurie was great. But it's just a couple of crucial errors that cost us all the time. Those 2 tries just before halftime killed us. And in the end, let's be honest, the Eagles just snuck home. They were just too good.
Mate, I flicked over to the rhythmic gymnastics and really enjoyed it, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Jeez, I tell you what, those curtains have never been stiffer.
Yeah, you don't need to go into details.
Manly centre Morgan Freeman scored a hat-trick for the Seagulls after spending most of the year setting up the Swedish shitbox Jason Saab for tries. Freeman not only crossed the line 3 times, he had 15 tackles, 127 running metres, 3 line breaks, 7 tackle busts and a very dodgy moustache.
Yeah, good old Morgan Freeman, former Bulldog and former guitarist for Hall & Oates, was unreal in this game. He dead set carved us up all afternoon. As West Tigers' back line, their defensive line, insists on coming out of the line early and then backpedaling as the team comes at us.
It's a very interesting tactic.
Oh, at least they're consistent. They do it every week. They run out of the line, then get on the back foot before inevitably allowing some rank bog stock ordinary outside back score a phenomenal try against us. But our next 3 weeks, former, it's not all doom and gloom. we are playing teams below us on the ladder. I didn't even know there were that many teams below us on the ladder, but we've got three in a row. So look for West Tigers to snatch that ninth place by season's end, stringing together a few wins.
All jokes aside, it does take a very special team to make Dally Cherry Evans look like fucking Usain Bolt with a ball under his arm.
He broke through there like he was a dead set champion. I'm like, no, no.
Covered in funnel webs, fair dinkum. Tackle him, please.
I've got a new rule for Ned Philanders. I reckon the game should only go for 2 20-minute halves. That would bring the bottom eight back up to a level that they could compete with the top eight.
The for and against it will be a lot different, except for the teams playing the Storm, obviously. The final game on Saturday saw the Penrith Panthers beat the Broncos 18 points to 12. It was a strange first 40 minutes from the Panthers, Sid, who looked disjointed, particularly in attack. They elected to shoot for a penalty goal despite being a man up when the Broncos lost Thomas Flegler for 10 minutes after knocking Isaiah out with a careless high shot. And try as they might, they couldn't crack the traditionally feeble Broncos defence, going up just 4 points nil at halftime, and that was only after a Dylan Edwards two-point field goal as the hooter sounded. Straight after the break, the Panthers stretched out to an 18-points nil lead before a couple of tries from the Broncos had Penrith fearing an upset was on the card. They held the Broncos out, but it was a long way from being a convincing effort, highlighted by the Panthers missing 66 tackles.
It was a strange game of footy all round, this one. It was,
mate, I think I said in a group chat that you're in, I feel like the Panthers have had a bunch of money on the Broncos to score the first try. I know that's outrageous to say that, Jesus.
It was like a rugby game. Let's take a penalty. Let's take a field goal. Go into the sheds. Have some oranges. Put some leather patches on our jackets. It was bizarre. The Cleary-less Panthers are going to do it tough. We all get that. But they still have a lot of strike power, the Panthers. But it was an off day for them. I'm not suggesting any kind of match fixing like you are. But they...
I'm not saying it did happen.
No, I'm pretty sure that's weird. That's what you're suggesting. When he kicked that field goal, he was filthy. So I didn't mean for that to go over. But 66 missed tackles is unbelievable. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Doggies missed 64 tackles. That was a world record. The Panthers went and beat that this week. And after leading 18-0, they didn't score again as the Broncos fought back. Brody Croft split the Panthers' defence and was over the line.
What happened there?
He's just lacking confidence, I think. He just thought, I better pass it. And it was called forward. That was a bomb try when they started to get some momentum. And then it did all go their way. They scored two more tries and were coming home strong. But the Panthers held on, disappointingly for the Panthers, who had heaps of cash on it.
Allegedly.
Your words, not mine. Your words.
Jeez, you really grabbed that and run with it.
Yep.
It's hard what to make of this game. Hard to know what to make of this game, Sid.
I've got screenshots of that group chat. I didn't participate in that chat. I was too busy taking screenshots and sending it to Nettie.
I'll be calling on my solicitors, Regan Campbell and Gillard, except I don't think they'd be that keen to represent me.
Conflict of interest there.
Sorry, bro. It's hard to know what to make of this game, Sid. As we said, the Panthers had 66 missed tackles, the highest of the year, while the Broncos had just 26. Errors were close at 12 for Penrith and 11 for the Broncos. The Broncos had 56% of the ball. With all that in mind, to lose by just six, it's the question on whether the Broncos have improved and showing promise or whether the Panthers' very poor game actually flattered how bad the Broncos really are.
Yeah, the second one.
We'll have a think about it. Get back to me. I haven't clearly lauded the Broncos.
The Broncos' momentum of having won one game in a row was smashed last week when the Tigers beat them. That amazing run of one in a row is gone. They're not that good.
You're on a roll now. You have to be happy with your team. You're on a roll.
Here's another tip for everyone out there. Broncos aren't that good.
No. Ivan Cleary lauded the Broncos as brave after the game. Didn't mention skillful or brilliant or dangerous.
He said they really should have won the opportunities we gave them.
It's cost us a fortune. He didn't say that bit. He didn't say that.
No.
One thing's for sure. Privately, the Panthers put the same performance in this week against fellow top-of-the-table team, the Storm. They'll be standing under their goalpost for a lot of the night.
Absolutely. A better side, even a good side, would have put Penrith away in this one, I reckon. And what was going to be a blockbuster this week with the Panthers v Storm facing off.
Mate, they were building it. How can you have a hype-up ad a week and a half before an actual game? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see
Hawks
that.
Hawks are already spruiking it halfway through Thursday night's game. Yeah, not this week, but next week, get ready. It's like, calm down. Look, we don't even know who's playing yet.
Yeah, it's pointless now because this doesn't look that promising, this game anymore.
No.
Judas Cleary has already pointed out that the Panthers will probably be without Yo and Cleary through injury.
Yeah.
And Coruscant, due to rooting around, he's dead set making excuses already, Judas. He knows what's coming this week. A storm is coming, former, and they are going to smash the Panthers.
You say rooting around, I say people smuggling. Whatever. Sunday, speaking of not living up to promise, the St. George Lord Warrior Dragons scored 10 points against the Titans, who scored 32. As expected, the Dragons couldn't cover the loss of a number of players who were sitting out on barbecue suspension. The match was right in the balance at halftime, however, but the Titans came out firing after the break with tries to Greg Marzhu, Jared Wallace, who finished with a double, and Toby Sexton, putting the game beyond doubt. Jordan Pereira dragged one back for the Dragons in the final minutes, but it was too little, too late. It was another twist in the tail in the race for the top eight and a huge result for the Titans, who now draw within 2 points of the Dragons, who somehow have still clung on to eighth spot.
What a crazy competition it is, where the Dragons are dead set gone now. The whole club's a shambles. They concede 22 points and lose to the Gold Coast, and yet they still hold on to eighth spot. It really is four teams and all the rest. Every single team in the comp has a chance of making the top eight at the moment.
Who's the four teams, you reckon?
Melbourne, they're a good side.
Yes.
I think Melbourne's pretty good.
They're a good side. Melbourne's not a bad sword either.
The Panthers.
Yes.
Although they're looking very shaky.
Once they get their players back, you'd imagine they'll click again.
The Rabbitohs.
Yes, I agree.
And I'd probably say Manly are just Pip and Parra at the moment.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Who would have thought that after three rounds this year?
Mm.
David Fifita has been criticised in a hot and cold debut at the Titans, and he started the game on the bench for the Gold Coast team. And when he came on after 20 minutes, there were periods where he was almost unstoppable. His try on Sunday was his 11th try in seven games at Bang Bus Super Stadium. All up, the Origin star had 8 tackle busts, 4 offloads, 2 line breaks and 111 running metres, and was a blistering return to form. Did you see what Mick Ennis said about him, but?
What did Mick Ennis say?
Put him on one of the greatest flat track bullies of all time.
Fair dinkum.
Said he only plays great against bad teams.
Well, there's plenty of them this year, so it doesn't really matter. In this one, Titans.
Thank Christ he doesn't get to play the Titans.
In this one, Titans super coach Justin Holbrook decided in this game to start the good David Fifita, not the one I went on holidays to Vanuatu with, the good David Fifita. Holbrook decided to start him off the bench and playing on that right edge rather than the left where he normally plays. And the left edge defence of the Dragons were dead set filthy about it, looking up at a flying Fifita all afternoon. Fifita scored the Titans' second try with St. George defenders Gordon Ramsay, Ben Hunt and Jordan Pereira just hanging on to him, unable to stop the beast as he barged over for a try in the corner. As
Like three sons tackling their dad in the backyard.
As Tarek Sims just looked on laughing at them. That's not how you tackle. Thanks for your help, Tarek. But super coach Peter Griffin backed his defenders and left the three little guys on Fifita in the second half just so that we could all watch it happen again as Fifita smashed Gordon Ramsay, held off Pereira and Hunt, and then passed the ball to Marzhu as Tarek Sims looked on again laughing. It was a great game from Fifita and a good win from the Titans, but shithouse decision to leave these three guys on him all afternoon.
The Sharkies got over the top of the Bulldogs, winning 44 points to 24. The Sharks were given a scare in the second half, but they have been able to weather out the storm and record an important win. It's the first time this year someone's mixed the Storm up with the Bulldogs. They had to do it without Sean Johnson as the Bulldogs All guns firing after halftime, landing some early tries when Jake Avarillo scored in the 56th minute, and they were just 12 points adrift. However, the Sharkies were able to steady and the ship, and a late penalty goal and converted try was enough to secure the competition points. The Sharks now leap to seventh spot on the table. My God.
Unbelievable.
Whilst the Bulldogs have nothing to show for a decent effort and remain 4 points adrift at the bottom of the table.
But having said that, they've still got to play the Tigers twice before the season ends. So there's hope for the Doggies yet.
And the Warriors. That's if anyone's sticking around for the Warriors. They might win off a forfeit there.
Exactly. The Doggies, they had a bit of a go in this one. Last week, they were really good against the high-flying Bunnies. And this one, they tried hard. After Luke Thompson barged over for a try, then he went and hit Brayley high and late off the ball. He got put in the bin for 10, and after being only 12-6 down, the Doggies were then punished with one player down as the Sharkies piled on a further 18 points in the next 11 minutes, and it cost them, unfortunately.
While they might be super glued to the bottom of the table, there's a fair bit to be excited about for the Doggies fans in 2022. They've got Josh Adokar, Matt Burton, hide-and-seek royalty Brett Naden, Matt Dufty, Tevita Pangai Jr., and possibly the barbecue king, Paul Vaughan, alongside new manager Gus Gould, all to come on board next year. But some of the blokes already there are showing they've got a bit to offer as well. And on Sunday, as you mentioned, Luke Thompson had a huge game for the Doggies, including 10 minutes in the bin. Big Pommy forward scored a try, set up another, and had 17 runs, twice as many as anyone else, for 190 metres. He had 9 tackle busts, 2 line breaks, 1 offload, and 25 tackles. If the World Cup goes ahead, England might want to fly this bloke over first class to make sure he plays.
Oh, I totally agree. He was great in this game, but as I said, that sin binning really cost the Doggies. And when you're struggling, you need things to go your way.
Yeah.
But as you say, if the World Cup does go ahead, he should be a certain starter. If it goes,
A certain starter.
Let's not pick on people stumbling over their words, because I'll be here all night picking on you.
But, I don't know where the country of Sturton is, but geez, I hope they go well.
Well, you just compared the Bulldogs to the Storm, and I didn't make mention of it. But if the World Cup does go ahead, and it goes ahead without the Aussies and the Kiwis, I want to see the Trbojevic brothers turn out for Serbia. I want to see Freddie Tedesco turn out for Italy, To'o for Samoa, Adam Dewey for Lebanon, and the Rabbitohs pair of Joshua Cook and Damian Cook for the Cook Islands.
NRL news, and we start with the Rugby League Players Association has blasted the decision by governing bodies in Australia and New Zealand to withdraw from a potential 2021 World Cup. The tournament is set to be held in the UK between October 23 and November 27. The Australian Rugby League Commission and the New Zealand Rugby League came to a joint decision yesterday to request the tournament to be postponed until next year due to concerns surrounding the coronavirus pandemic. Top brass in the UK immediately got on the front foot, with the chair of the Rugby Football League calling the move selfish, parochial and cowardly. And British Minister for Tourism, Sport and Commonwealth Games, Nigel Huddleston, saying it was an extremely surprising and disappointing decision from the ARLC and the NZRL.
Nigel Huddleston, that doesn't sound like a Pommy administrator's name, former. I'm not sure you've got that right. But
I think he was on Yes, Prime Minister.
But I think this is an absolute joke from New Zealand and Australia. The Rugby League Players Association was totally left out of this decision, which is another joke. It should have been left up to players whether they wanted to compete or not. Interestingly, none of the NRL broadcast partners are involved with the telecast of the Rugby League World Cup. The Rugby League World Cup went with streaming services such as Sportsflick in Australia and Whisper in, I think, New Zealand or other parts of the world. They got the rights to telecast it. These are tiny companies that the international game went with instead of say, Fox's KO streaming service. Mm. Now, one wonders whether if KO had the rights, whether Australia and New Zealand would have been nudged by the NRL to go and compete in this World Cup. It is an absolute joke, and mark my words, there's agendas at play here.
Interesting. Hmm. I mean, there's been a lot of to and froing on social media this week. I've kind of stayed out of it, to be honest, yep. because I don't know what to think about it all. I haven't had time to actually look at it properly, so I thought I'd best not talk about it at all. But, yeah, I've seen some respected people make some pretty decent points on social media in the last couple of days about it.
It's very difficult to find some of that stuff now.
Yeah.
It's been pulled from the internet.
Stories disappear into the ether.
Yeah, I don't know.
Penrith Panthers star Appy Korosau says he will be forever sorry after the gun hooker was handed a two-match ban and $35,000 fine for a COVID breach during Origin camp.
He'll be forever sorry because he got caught.
The NRL Integrity Unit launched an investigation on Thursday into allegations a New South Wales player breached the State of Origin COVID bubble rules by bringing a woman into camp. It came after the Daily Mail reported Blues rookie Korosau sneaked a woman, who was not his wife Amy, into camp twice during his debut series. While Appy Korosau apologised, Amy slammed painful lies and misrepresentation in certain media reports in the couple's statement on the incident. The NRL confirmed the sanctions on Friday evening before Korosau released a public statement of apology. His statement said, "I made the choice to do the wrong thing. My actions have brought shame and embarrassment to many people, especially my wife. She's brought shame to her and children. I'll be forever sorry." His wife, Amy, was also quoted in a statement as saying, "While there have been painful lies and misrepresentation in certain media reports, I don't think it is the best interest of our family to engage with it."
Well, the Daily Mail even ran text messages from Appy Korosau between Appy and the secret woman, and then text between Appy and his wife. But then to top it all off, messages between the secret woman and Appy's wife. It was a dead set soap opera. But really, let's be fair.
In all that triangle, that's the link you don't want to happen. I'm tipping.
But really, let's be honest here. How was Korosau to know that he shouldn't be sneaking a woman into his room? Like, come on, first offence, there's no priors, nobody's done this before. I'm running out of time to record this song every week with people that keep fucking it up for everyone. James Roberts has just been breaking news 2 minutes ago. He's been photographed out on his balcony with his shirt off, so the whole bubble's been thrown into disarray yet again. It's fantastic.
What I never ceases to amaze me, these blokes out on their balconies in their jocks. Fuck, they wear cheap jocks. They're in tradies. Tradies is it's a fucking Povo brand.
If I look like James Roberts, though, I'd be out the front on my balcony all the time.
I'd be in a leather G-string, but fuck, I wouldn't be in fucking tradies. Jesus Christ.
I don't think you really need to worry about it, my friend.
What's more forgiving, do you think? The game of rugby league as a whole, or the scorned wife of a rugby league player? They're forgiven.
Amy, the evidence is all there in front of you, Amy. She's like, there's lies and misrepresentation.
Very
understanding, Amy.
A good chick. She says she'll be more often. It's like these footy players have got a monopoly on these sort of women.
We don't know, former. We don't know their circumstances.
DeBellin's missus, she's stuck in there. Good on her. Very forgiving and understanding.
What
have
these guys got? Like, they don't even wear nice undies. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out.
Queensland Chief Health Officer Jeanette Young says she's very close to seeing a man in nice undies.
Jeanette will be gunning for Roberts right now. Mate, she's between a rock and a hard place.
Well, she's drawn a line that she's going to have to. Anyway, she's very close to ending the hub agreement with the NRL. And one more incident.
Well, here it is, Jeanette. Here it is. Here's a young Aboriginal fella doing it tough in there. They've already said he's struggling with mental health issues. Go your hardest, Jeanette. Let's see. Jeanette. Let's see if you chuck the whole NRL Jeanette. Out of Queensland because a bloke was standing on his balcony.
Jeanette, this is Jimmy. Jimmy, Jeanette, how are you? We'll leave you with it. He's hoping she's very forgiving.
it's madness. Anyway.
She said one more incident and she'll see the competition kicked out of the Sunshine State. Jeanette Young slammed NRL players and their families over recent COVID-19 breaches and warned the code they must abide by the rules in place or else NRL teams and their families will be shown the door. Well, that's where Jimmy walked out of. Following the allegations surrounding New South Wales player Appy Corrissau sneaking a woman into his Brisbane hotel and Jai Arrow's bubble breach, Young said she was aware of an incident at a quarantine hotel involving family members passing goods between balconies.
Mate, these were disgusting scenes, former. One NRL family member passed a bag of marshmallows to another family member on the balcony below. These are family members and people that were all on the plane together on the way up, all in the bus together on the way up, all in the same hotel lobby together, and all have dinner together and lunchtime. But this is a clear breach of COVID guidelines. You can't be passing those gooey treats over the balcony. These people should know better. It's just madness. But go your hardest, Jeanette. Go.
Anyone having a bet that Jeanette Young will somehow lose her job in the next couple of days?
Jeanette Young should have applied herself better because she could dead set backflip tomorrow and make the Olympics next Thursday. This is going to be the mother of all backflips, sacking NRL because of James Roberts standing there in his cheap shit undies.
Tradies, I mean, fair dick. Supercoach Craig Bellamy is staying at Melbourne Storm for at least one more season, bringing up 20 years as the club's head coach. Storm and Bellamy are expected to make the joint announcement today, which they did, ending 12 months of negotiations over his future after huge offers from the Broncos and Cronulla Sharks. He'll remain as head coach for 22 and then most likely take a step to side to take on a role as director of football and then choose his replacement.
Yeah, it's, what, 20 years next year? 20 seasons yep. in a row? I think old Soup Bones has got 21 years. Now, we know that the two of them get along famously. There's no rivalry there. Do you reckon if Bennett goes up to Queensland and doesn't take on a full-time job, Bellamy maybe sneaks in two more years just to beat his record? What do you reckon?
Well, I know I'm going the exact opposite way to you. I think Bellamy will name his replacement and it'll be Soupy. it's a young bloke on his way up.
Yeah.
There's a lot to like about him.
I was watching Buzz Rothfield briefly this afternoon. I know.
Oh, that's your problem, mate. We'll let you go from
I don't make a habit of it. But I was interested to see which angle Buzz is going at with now against West Tigers. He's always got some
mate,
angle.
Can someone get Buzz and get a doll and get him to show us on the doll where the Tigers touched him? Because Jesus Christ.
He was blowing up Deluxe saying Wayne Bennett is too old. And then in the next breath saying, well, West Tigers should go and get Wayne Bennett to fix things up. They're like, which is it? Which is it, Buzz? Is he too old? And imagine Buzz Rothfield telling someone they're too old. He's past it. Fair dinkum.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Tim Sheens was the other one. He's like, oh, Tim Sheens is old. He's been out of the game for a while. Have a good hard look at yourself, Buzz.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Cronulla have continued their recruitment raid on the Melbourne Storm roster, signing hard-nosed forward Dale Finucane on a four-year deal. The New South Wales Origin forward told his Storm teammates today that he'd be leaving the club at the end of the year following seven highly successful seasons in Melbourne. It's a massive signature for the Sharks, who are eager to lock down a tough and experienced middle forward and try and end his career. In Finucane, they've got exactly that. The 29-year-old, having played over 200 NRL games, pulled on the New South Wales Origin jersey five times, appeared in six grand finals in stints with the Dogs and the Storm, including two premierships.
Yeah, so of course, staff writers were out in force again this week, former, saying West Tigers missed out on another player. But then today, someone's flipped. They've run out of ammunition, so they're going the opposite way. Today, they're coming out full of praise for West Tigers because we only offered Finucane a two-year deal with a third year in the club's favour. a sensible approach, I would have thought, for a player on his last contract. A good player, don't get me wrong, but for West Tigers, a club that has had a poor record with overpriced long-term contracts to players at the tail end of their career, I think West Tigers, we didn't lose out on this one. It's a bold move going 4 years for him. The Storm, yeah, Storm would never offer him 4 years.
No way.
Nope.
No way. WAG, Taylor Winterstein, has taken to Instagram to post video of detectives knocking at her home to serve her and her footballer husband two $1,000 COVID protest fines. In the video posted to her Instagram account with 70,000 idiot followers, the fanatical anti-vaxxer demanded the two plain officers show evidence they were police.
They were plain clothes officers. One of them was quite dashing. They weren't that plain. But who's picking who's picking on people with the way they stumble over their words? Keep going.
They wouldn't be wearing tradie undies. she also accuses them of trespassing on my private property. When one detective held up his badge, she said, "That's not good enough," and demanded more evidence. I think she gets how crime works. Yeah. I need more evidence.
This Mensa,
you need an alibi, sweetheart.
This Mensa graduate. She's fantastic.
Ms. Winterstein was photographed with her husband, former Manly, Nuff said, NRL star Frank Winterstein, prominently participating in Saturday's unauthorised horse bashing and anti-lockdown protest in the Sydney CBD.
I got to tell you, former, if ever I'm in need of legal representation, forget Regan Campbell and Gillard and Associates. I'm going to Taylor Winterstein to represent me. The way she explained her rights to those coppers was inspirational. She knows her stuff, Taylor.
QC, I believe, too. Johnson, the
step for the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia's goal.
Sports News.
AFL. The Battlers team, the Sydney Swans, beat the Fremantle Peggers by six straight kicks and then four to the right, while the AFL Money Pit, the GWS Caps Lock Giants, beat the S's in syringes by two straight kicks and one to the left.
It was a big win by the Swannies, but they could be without superstar Buddy Frankfurt next week as he elbowed Fremantle Peggers player Luke Ryan in the face. I personally didn't see anything wrong with it, former, because I personally didn't watch it. But the the Caps Lock Giants returned to the winner's circle and have jumped into the eight after beating the Essendon Supplements by about 13 points or something. Who knows?
Tennis. Hashtag talk other games down. The announcement the world has been waiting for has finally been released this week when Margaret Court gave a public statement on how her church is dealing with coronavirus. She said, "We are in agreement that this COVID-19 will not come near our dwelling or our church family," Court told her followers. "We are praying daily for you, knowing that we are all protected by the blood of Jesus," she continued. At the time of recording tonight, Jesus was not available for comment.
Well, Jesus has since reached out on Twitter saying to his 1.7 billion followers in a tweet, he tweeted, "WTF, bro, I would nation." I'd never say shit like that. Marg, stick to the tennis. As I was looking through in other tweets from Jesus recently, he's come out in support of Peter Volandis and everything he does. He's just towing the line like everyone else.
Yeah, that's right. Except that Sheila from up in Brisbane. Oh, Jeanette Young.
Jeanette.
Her days are numbered.
She's gone.
Olympics. Brisbane has won the bid for the 2032 Olympics and Paralympics.
Oh, good. I'm glad we got the Paralympics as well.
An IOC vote confirmed the games are heading to Queensland as millions prepare to celebrate the biggest event in the state's history. The last Olympic Games to make a profit, Sid, was the 84 Games in LA. The Athens Games were said to cost every Greek household around $85,000 per house. And just for those playing at home, unbeknownst to everyone in Queensland, Brisbane was the only bid, and even then, they didn't get all the
votes. I know, I was going to say that. It was a close-run thing, Brisbane, and nobody. and they still didn't get all the votes. But this is a fantastic thing, former. The best thing since Expo 88 for Queensland.
I went to that.
Anastasia Palatjak flew over there and fought off rival bids from, well, absolutely no one. And it will.
I think the refugees team and that team that's not Russia, but it's actually Russia, also bidded.
How good are those teams? What about the refugee team? Nobody wants you. Nobody. But here's your chance to get up there in front of no crowds. Like, this is the Olympics you go to and still nobody wants you. It's terrible. But this is going to.
They said there's no crowds. I wish there was no one waiting for us at the borders.
This will be a great thing for Queensland, said Queenslanders, getting the Olympics. I want to see Matilda, the giant fiberglass winking kangaroo, come back out there for the opening ceremony, have powder finger play, get the Walters brothers.
No, I think Shepherd are playing once again.
Well, get the Walters brothers involved somehow. Have a giant schlong mascot in honour of famous Queenslander Greg Norman. Get Grant Hackett involved. He loves a good party. It's going to be fantastic. Good on him.
Mate, the way Buck's stacking on the weight, he might be the size of Matilda by 2032.
He'll be glue by then.
Cricket, a charity match in Kent. That's right, Kent. Descended into chaos when two teams became embroiled in a violent brawl. Footage has emerged on social media of the moment players started attacking each other on the field. Some wielding bats while others threw punches. An umpire is seen in the middle of the altercation trying to restore order while spectators scream in the background. The charity tournament was organised to raise funds for Share for Care.
Oh, that's great.
An organisation that helps those in need of medical care in Pakistan. As reported by Wisden, police and paramedics were called to the scene where four people were treated for injuries and one was transported to a nearby hospital.
Well, this just isn't cricket, is it, former? But it should be. It looked fantastic. Just punch on with other cricketers. Great stuff. Well done to all involved for the Share for Care program.
Olympics show jumping. Australian equestrian rider Jamie Kermond has tested positive for cocaine, I think that's how you pronounce it, and has been suspended from the Tokyo Olympics.
This is a very strange story, former.
Mate, it gets weirder and weirder as we go on.
Turns.
The show jumper tested positive for a metabolite of cocaine on June 26, Equestrian Australia says. Kermond's positive A sample came from a test conducted by the Sport Integrity of Australia. The 36-year-old from Victoria has been making his Olympic debut in Tokyo, Tokyovan. Kermond was selected as one of three show jumpers on a 9-strong Australian equestrian team at the Games. Kermond is a triple Australian show jumping champion, but his initial selection for the Olympics attracted scrutiny. He's ranked 1,013th on world standings, but has links to one of two national selectors, Stephen Lamb. Stick with me here, because Stephen Lamb is employed as marketing manager at a horse nutrition company, which sponsors Kermond's Yandu Park, which offers adjustment and training. Selectors overlooked Rowan Wills, Australia's top-ranked rider at 59 in the world, and Lamb has said he stepped aside when Kermond's selection was discussed.
Sure, he did.
Alarm bells amongst Kermond's teammates were ringing when he elected to take Buck the Bronco over to Tokyo to compete in the show jumping. Teammates asked him why he'd taken the severely obese horse to the Olympics, to which Kermond likened the fat horse to Jeff the Bugle Hugel.
Fantastic. I'd actually love to see, what's that dance ballet shit that they do? I'd love to see Buck the Bronco do that sport. That'd be sick, especially with this guy.
He does that because he's got Parkinson's.
Especially this guy in the saddle with some glow sticks off his chops. Yeah, that's a sport I'd watch. That's a sport I'd watch for me.
How come the rider's got the bit in his mouth?
What else you got from around the grounds?
Olympics. The CBS opening ceremony coverage was ordinary in America, according to Americans.
I wasn't part of their telecast.
They missed the tributes to victims of the pandemic and the 72 games. They had a bunch of irrelevant commentary that took away from the actual athletes and called Australia's own Patty Mills a woman. Meanwhile, a South Korean broadcast network has been forced to apologise after Sid started working for them after using totally inappropriate graphics during the Tokyo Olympics opening ceremony. MBC was criticised for images chosen to represent countries as athletes entered Tokyo's national stadium on Friday evening for the Parade of Nations. When Ukraine was introduced, for example, an image of Chernobyl appeared on the broadcast. Later, Haitian athletes were accompanied by a caption which read, "The political situation is fogged by the assassination of the president." Italy entered alongside an image of a pizza, yeah, while El Salvador was introduced with a picture representing Bitcoin. MBC released a statement after a tsunami of backlash. In today's opening ceremony broadcast, they said inappropriate photos were used when introducing countries like Ukraine and Haiti. Also, inappropriate photos and subtitles were used for other countries. We apologise to the viewers of the Ukraine and other countries.
Well, you say inappropriate photos. I say I was snowed under doing the Australian coverage and the South Korean one. But I covered up on this earlier. The Channel 7 team did a great job, I thought. I was actually so excited to watch the Olympics to see the skateboarding former. A 12-year-old, Guy Khoury is his name. He landed the first 1080 last week in competition to beat Tony Hawk's record of a 900. It was amazing stuff. And then when people told me skateboarding is going to be in the Olympics, I was dead set rapt to go and watch it. And I tuned in and saw a few chicks on skateboards in like your local skate park falling over on every trick. It was dead set embarrassing. The skateboarding should not be an Olympic sport. It's shit.
Olympics. For the first time since 1972, the United States failed to medal on the opening day of the Games.
And in incredible scenes, former, the US of A didn't even win gold at what they are best at, the shooting.
Yeah, but that's only because this year they've taken away the shooting from 100 metres in a moving vehicle.
Need a Sparky, then make the call to NDF Electrical.
Do you need electrical work done? NDF Electrical provides expert service and advice on a wide range of commercial and residential projects. With over 23 years' experience, NDF Electrical have you covered for all your electrical needs from the Gold Coast, Tweed Heads, Byron Bay and everywhere in between. For a free quote, go to ndfelectrical.com.au.
NDF Electrical.
All right, Sid, it's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror.
Yeah, it's time for the number one podcasting segment in all of podcasting all around the world. It's time for Grabber Mirrors. You can reply to my original tweet. It's on a Tuesday at around 7:30. Use the hashtag Grabber Mirror, hashtag GAM. I usually do another one around 3, 3.30, 4, 4.30. Don't set your clock to that one. Again, use the hashtags GAM or hashtag Grabber Mirror. It's with thanks to our mates up there on the far north coast, NDF Electrical. If you've got a, if you want to run your power from your neighbour's yard, get these blokes in.
I'm not sure you should be in charge of the advertising on this podcast, but anyway.
If you've got a hydroponics kit in the roof of your house, these are the blokes you need. If you're growing your tomato plants up there in the roof, I don't know why you would, but some people do apparently. Sid.
Yes.
I'll go first.
Yeah, get on with it.
Look, history's shown, Sid, that champions not only know how to perform at the top of their games, but probably most importantly, also when to retire.
Mm-hmm.
If you look through the history books, you'll see hundreds of examples of the best in their chosen fields calling it quits even when they're just at the top of their game. There's Bradman, there's Nicklaus, there's Sampras, Joey Johns, and even in politics, JFK probably quit at the right time. Well, you can throw a set of twins into this mix, Sid, and I'm not talking about Josh and Brett Morris. I'm talking about twin sisters, 70-year-olds Amanda and Lucy Fokker, who've called it a day while at the top of their games, said they're Amsterdam's oldest sex workers and combined, they've had more than a century of experience in the sex industry between them, servicing an estimated 335,000 men over the years. Now, back in 2012, before their retirement, they were known as Amsterdam's oldest sex workers and had seen more pricks than your average RSL dartboard, Sid. And now they've been the subject of a documentary and also a book. And in an interview recently, Lucy Focker spoke of one experience to the BBC. Not why she was talking directly to a BBC, Sid. I mean, that seems weird to me. But she was talking to the BBC. And in the story...
Not her first time.
She spoke to the BBC and she said that she told a client to take off his clothes and suspected something was up. Well, that's the whole idea of it, sweetheart. Now, it wasn't until she fell under the pillow that she discovered he'd hidden a massive knife. Now, obviously, this was during the Amsterdam publicity tour Paul Hogan was doing to Crocodile Dundee back in 86, but whatever. Now, talking about how they kept their clients' interests interested, Lucy said she decided to specialise in bondage for older men and targeted those who have a penchant for pain and pleasure. She said, we know all the tricks. We know what they want. We know how to talk to them. We know how to make them laugh too. I'd say getting undressed will be a good start. She told, once again, she was talking to the BBC, not sure why. Now, the duo, so they don't have many regrets in their life and have fond memories of their career in the sex industry, Sid. Now, both retired and just going to do a little bit of dancing down at Tempe.
Career's not over at Tempe.
Amanda threw in the towel first, Amanda Focker, due to arthritis. Then Lucy followed not long after due to a grade 3 tear of the panty wrinkle. Lucy...
When they threw in the towel, it stood up on its own.
And walked to the laundry. Lucy, it smells like the fish markets on Good Friday.
This is a rag story. Keep going.
Lucy told the BBC, again, they're not sure why, boys are different these days. They drink too much, they're fat, they don't show respect, and they're always talking about their podcasts on Tuesday nights.
3 out of 4 ain't bad.
They should be on their bikes like Dutch boys, not just drinking all the time. So grab a mirror, Lucy and Amanda Focker. May your days in retirement be even longer than your wizard sleeves.
10.
At Pete, 4383 4967.
Hey, Pete.
Grab a mirror.
I'm not going to pick you up on it. I'm not going to pick you up.
Grab a Budweiser as well. grab a mirror. I'm calling out at @former_legend and at Sid Pikes. Hey. For not doing any fact-checking prior to calling out the Russian rugby sevens masseuse as a tough wank, in the same breath wanting to root Jackie Lambie. Simple Google search or Reddit subfeed shows these girls didn't eat all the pies.
Yeah, well, you know, why do we need to fact-check when we've got people like you, Pete?
9.
Still tipping they stand up to piss, Pete. at Lambretta, GP1971. Grab a mirror, the NRL.com, put a minute. For scheduling the at Brisbane Broncos, put a minute, up against the equestrian events on Friday at the Olympics. Now I'm going to have to choose between watching fit horses jump or fat horses slump. Hashtag grab a mirror, hashtag animal cruelty, hashtag posh birds on horses it is then.
Yeah, I think I'd be watching that. Good one.
8.
At Big Mac Keeper. Grab a mirror. The poor bloke from Gambia who has to read through all these tweets about issues such as dick jokes, buck the fat horse, declining sports journalists' standards, and somehow work out what the fuck is going on with the world today, all without a Tiger's 9th joke. Hashtag Africa, hashtag bring back equal 10. You know what that's about?
Yeah.
Hashtag GAM is Gambia. I didn't know that.
Yeah, every 4 years we have this problem. Don't you remember 4 years ago?
Oh, that's
it
right.
It only seems like 24 years ago, former.
7.
At NRL for breakfast. Grab a mirror, John Harker. It's great to hear you in the water polo commentary last night. Last time I saw you was the Nappy Sand door knock challenge at the Malat family home. Happy hashtag Nappy Sand, hashtag blood from whites.
I'm so sorry, John. I I actually thought he was dead.
Well, if he is dead and he needs his shirts washed, nappy sense. At MP6868, hashtag grab a mirror, my eyes. Every time I'm on my daily COVID walk and see a cute female walker in stretch yoga pants, I tell you both, that's in his eyes, don't look at her snatch, don't look at her snatch, and yet they still do.
It's not your fault, bros.
Five.
At Triff 81.
Hey, Triff.
Grab a mirror, me. Not sure if I grabbed the missus's undies this morning instead of my mask. Hashtag more string than fabric. Hashtag I think it's clean. Hashtag, well, it is red. Hashtag, I don't like corn.
I'm moving on.
Four.
I mentioned a yeast, so it's not all bad. At biggest faloo. Grab a mirror, any bloke who didn't shave down for the Olympics. Since manscaping, I've been strutting around the house like a triathlon medalist and lining up for extra portions at mealtimes. In the bedroom, I even shaved half a second off my PB. Hashtag, look like Butterbean in a porno. Hashtag, for 2 seconds.
This is what I like about the Olympics. It's inspiring everyone. Can I have a go now?
Yeah, go.
All right. Grab a mirror. The company Hot Octopus. That's octopus right. With two S's, former.
And a dollar sign?
That would have been cool. But no, Hot Octopus with two S's. They have created a product that I know you have been waiting for your whole life, my friend. Mm. Their product is called the Guybrader, and it's a sex toy for men.
All right.
It looks like I'm going to have to get you one for Christmas. I've ruined that surprise. But this is what it's all about, the Guybrader. Its creator, who only wants to be referred to as Lewis, explains, when I was a teenager, I used to spend a lot of time up against the jets in my grandparents' pool.
Or Luke Lewis.
Or would use their vacuum when they were out. I even gaffer taped my grandma's electric toothbrush to my old fella to try and get off hands-free. He goes on to say, after my grandma died of a mouth infection, I decided...
Fucking ulcers everywhere.
It's a mystery. But after me...
Gingivitis, I don't know. Where the fuck's this come from?
After me...
The more I brush my teeth, the worse it gets.
After me grandma died in suspicious circumstances, I decided to spend my life in the pursuit of a male sex toy that could get me off. Without using my hands, he says. Oh. And former, let me tell you, he has succeeded. He has created the Pulse Guybrader. It looks like a Darth Vader helmet to put on your own helmet. And it vibrates, pulses, and oscillates until it gets covered in jizz. Now, I don't actually have any jokes to do about this. I just wanted to bring their website to everyone's attention. It is hotoctopus.com. That's Hot Octopus with two S's. And my P.O. box is 4166 Oatley West, 2223. Thanks for listening to my TED Talk.
It's, for any of you absolute imbeciles out there, we're going to need to. We're not sharing.
Three.
At Ben Pugsley.
Hey, Pugs.
Grab a mirror. Ben Robert Smith.
Careful.
doesn't mind going.
Both of you be careful.
Obviously, you've made the wrong career choice. You'd have been welcome at Penrith with a double banger surname. You could have made a nice little earning brutalising civilians at the pig, hashtag allegedly.
Okay, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Two.
At Luke J83.
Hey, Luke.
Grab a mirror, Dr. Kerry Chant. Do we all know that who she is? She's the lady that stands next to Boris every day and looks surprised at the numbers. Why you have not decided to dress up like Austin Powers for a press conference with your burnt corn teeth is beyond me.
And the crooked glasses as well. Why hasn't someone done that meme?
It could make 11 a.m. conference a bit better. Bit of nads for that upper lip could also be on the cards. Hashtag 5 o'clock shadow. Hashtag casual Friday.
Wow. If that got number two, what got number one, former?
One.
In a welcome return to form. At Cricket Flog. Hashtag grab a mirror, Dean Boxall, you magnificent bastard. Do you know this bloke?
No, who's that bloke?
He's the Australian swimming trainer that just lost his mind and danced around
that
and
was,
carried on.
That was great.
He said, grab a mirror, Dean Boxall, you magnificent bastard. I haven't seen an Olympic swimming coach that happy since Scott Volkers had all those police charges dropped. Hashtag backstroke, hashtag breaststroke, hashtag too many strokes.
Very good.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Having a function or an event? Are you part of a sporting or community group? Do you have a birthday, anniversary, Bucks or Hens night coming up? Mare Inc. can supply any custom product you can imagine. Custom made t-shirts, aprons, stubby holders, cushions, shopping bags, hoodies, tote bags, vinyl stickers and decals. Or put your business logo on a range of workwear. Go to mareinc.com.au. Whatever the purpose, Mare Inc. has you covered.
Go to mareinc.com.au. Go to mareinc.com.au.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Yes, every week we preview the upcoming round. We get this bloke on. It's Duncan McRae from Bluebet, our good friends. How you going, champion?
Yeah, former. Good afternoon. Good evening. How's everything, lads? Hope you enjoyed your walk there Saturday. And I'm all good, thank you.
Mate, it was a good walk. And I tell you what, that punch you got on that horse was one of the great hits I've ever seen.
mate, thank God. As my son tells me, I'm the smallest guy he knows. I couldn't have reached the horse's head. So
you always said Blazing Saddles was a good movie. And
Would have been an air swing from me.
How about this for a stat, mate? Round 20 is all top eight versus top eight and all bottom eight versus bottom eight. And that hasn't happened since 2006.
Oh, I love that. Good stat, former. I like that. You obviously had plenty of time to look into the stats over lockdown. So
I just checked Wally's tweets. He's under Wally SCR. He's a champion. He brings up those sort of things all the time. But that is something, isn't it?
Oh, well, the king is obviously on fire. So very happy with all that, former.
Well, let's start on Thursday night. It's the Sydney Roosters up against the Parramatta Eels. It's at AstraZeneca Oval. It's $2.45 the Roosters. It's $1.55 the Eels. Handicaps at 4.5. Take your pick. Dunks, what are we thinking here?
Yeah, I don't know what to think here, former. I've got to be honest with you. Obviously, Mitchell Moses still out for another couple of weeks. Parramatta were poor last week. Roosters were, you know, what have they got, about 30 out and they're still performing. Look, I'm going to tip a draw here, boys. I'm just sitting on the fence. I think at the line I'll tip the Roosters, but I'm tipping a really tight game.
I'll back the Roosters with absolutely no certainty. Like you said, it could be a draw. It could be a draw. They're a little bit rudderless without Moses, aren't they? They were pretty ordinary on the weekend.
Yeah, they were showing up. Well, Canberra's first and second, you know, tackles off, kick returns were just dominant. The Eels just couldn't come forward. I thought it was a great performance by the Raiders.
Yeah, Ricky will be happy for the first time in, well, all year. We go to Friday night, and it's the game we've all been waiting for. It's the West Tigers up against the New Zealand Warriors. It's $1.55, the Tigers, which just goes to show how bad the Warriors are travelling. They're $2.45, handicaps at 5.5, and Fennicum, I couldn't have a Zach on the Warriors, and it's at close contact quarantine park.
Boy, what do you say here? What do you say?
Oh, mate. Let it end.
The only light for both teams has been the fullbacks this year. That's the first thing I'll say. Dane Laurie and Reece Walsh, the Warriors, they just do not know how to win a game. And then you got the Tigers, who are the same. So just because I'm on the line with you, Former, I'm going to tip the Tigers.
Yeah, I'll back the Tigers only because I'm Adam Dewey, who might carry him over the line. That might be the only thing we can hang on to. Him and Dane Laurie, as you said, but geez, there's not a lot else. And there's no RTS now, obviously, so that might hurt them a little bit too. The second game, and it's the battle of the Queensland sides. It's the Brisbane Broncos take on the North Queensland Cowboys. It's at Isolation Oval. It's $1.74, the Broncos. $2.10 at the Cowboys. Whew, it's a 1.5 handicap. Take your pick, $1.95. Oh, Dunks, you wouldn't bet on this with your mum's money, would you?
No, oh, I'm very keen on the Broncos here, boys. Really? I look at this team sheet and I see Jake Granville in the number one jersey. Mate, I just don't know where to go with that. I know he went all right last week when he played, but I just think the difference is class players, and I think Katoni Staggs will win with Brisbane on his own. Payne Haas up front. I think the Melbourne Storm really shown up Tom Dearden last week and his defensive deficiencies, how he jumps out of the line, and I think the Broncos will know all about that, and they'll run all their plays around him.
Cowboys went all right against the Storm. They gave him a bit of a battle. I'll back the Cowboys as long as Coach Cranky can play Tal Malolo for longer than 60 minutes. I mean, come on, please. You've got a Ferrari and you did see it. You don't like getting it dirty. Saturday, and it's the St. George Illawarra Dragons. They take on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Ordinarily, this would be a very big game in Sydney, but up there in Brisbane, it's not because the Dragons are $8. The Rabbitohs are $1.08 with bluebet.com.au. Handicap, if you don't mind, is at 22.5, $1.90. Take your pick. They won't cover that, the Dragons. Dunks, you dead set. It's just a training run, isn't it?
You would think so. Yeah, absolutely. Formal. You look at Corey Norman, who thinks tackling his fishing gear. He's playing in the centres, and so they'll be throwing everything down him. Oh, the Bunnies will—they'll win by 60 here. No question about it.
Yeah, it's at Hydroxychloroquine Stadium.
I was waiting for what you had for Rocky. I was waiting.
You just Rabbitohs dead set. They just only have to turn up. They'll be playing against Witches Hats. The second game on Saturday sees the Newcastle Knights. They're taking on the Canberra Raiders. It's $2.20, the Knights, who are dead set friendless. $1.67, the Raiders. Going for four in a row, can you believe? Handicaps at 3.5, $1.90. Take your pick with Bluebet. It's at Pete Evans, anti-vaxxer stadium. Dunks, I mean, you just got to go to the Raiders, don't you? You got to go with four.
Well, the Raiders were outstanding last week. What a game from Jordan Rapana, wasn't he? Outstanding for me. He was just a difference in the side of that tackle at the end there. I thought it was a knee reconstruction.com.au, but he was absolutely fantastic. Knights are awful. I know Kalen Ponga, they welcome back Bradman Best, but they can't find a way to get Ponga into the game with Crossland and also Jake Clifford in the halves. So I think the Raiders, they've turned the corner. I've got to give them a rap. I didn't think they could, but Ricky's done a great job. It's obviously that Queensland sun. They're loving it. So got to tip the Raiders very confidently.
All jokes aside, mate, that might actually be the difference between good Raiders and the bad Raiders, was just get away from Canberra, get away from a lot of the bad baggage they were carrying around there, and they look a different side up there. And I'll back the Raiders and back them with a bit of confidence, to be honest. The last game on Saturday sees the Melbourne Storm take on the Penrith Panthers. It might be the game of the ordinary year anyway, before the semis. It's $1.17, the Storm, can you believe it? $5, the Panthers, who are a little bit injury-struck. Handicaps at 16.5, $1.90. Take your pick with Bluebet. It's at Travel Bubble Park. You just think it's a Storm win, don't you? Although, geez, they weren't overly convincing last weekend, I've got to say.
No, they weren't for me. You know, what are they on, a 15-16 game winning streak or whatever? I'm going to back the Panthers. I think the Storm will win, but with that big star, I think the Panthers will be pretty competitive. You know, a lot of guys, you know, Cleary's obviously out, Fisher Harris out, but these are the guys, they want a game in the semi-finals. So, you know, they'll be up for a big game. The Storm, obviously, a great side. You know, you think they'll win, but they've still got a pretty good side there. Penrith, mate, they struggle to score points, obviously, without Cleary, but they still have a good forward pack in, kick out. Liam Martin comes in. You know, I'm going to back them at the line.
Yeah, I'll be backing the Storm, obviously, off the scratch. But 16.5 seems a little bit generous towards the Panthers, and you wouldn't mind a bit of that as well. Sunday, and we go to the Sunday specialists. It's the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs taking on the Gold Coast Titans. Obviously, when I say the Sunday specialists, they play on Sundays. Canterbury are $3.85. The Titans are $1.26. Handicaps 12.5. It's at Mockdown Stadium. Dunks, I think the Bulldogs have got a win or two left them in the year, but this might be one of them.
I read two names. It's Jaden Ockenbore and Kyle Flanagan. I'll be tipping the 13-plus the Gold Coast. Jaden Ockenbore, mate, come on, man. You're as big as a giant and you play like a midget. Home champ. He's hopeless. I can't have him. Gold Coast for me.
Yeah, but he goes good around school.
I suppose the kid's up there at school and they're in lockdown, so I doubt he's...
He's dead set sweating on school. He's kicking off before they leave.
He's going to be the biggest toolie going around, isn't he?
I'll be backing the Titans. But again, with no confidence, I still think the Dogs have got a couple of wins in them this year. And I don't know. Titans, if you're going to put money on the Titans with any confidence, you're a better man than me. The last game, and it's the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks taking on the Manly Warringah Seagulls. $4.50 the Sharkies, $1.20 the Seagulls. The handicap's at 16.5. Take your pick with Bluebet, $1.95. It's at Bunnings Essential Services Park. What are you backing, mate?
Oh, I'm very keen on the Seagulls. I think they'll win easily. I've got to say the Sharks have been the overperformers of the year with the roster they have. I think they've been outstanding. You just look at Manly, they're probably one of the biggest sides I've ever seen. Then you welcome in, you know, Turbo and Cherry Evans. I really think they can... I wouldn't want to play the Seagulls in a sudden-death game from South, Penrith or Melbourne, let me tell you. They're a danger team, and I think they'll just keep winning here.
And as you were saying off air, they're only one injury from having a shocker. The Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, they're without the nude nut old Sean Johnson. And with that alone, you'd have to back the Seagulls. Brother, we will catch you next week. I think you got 6 out of 8. I think that was a pretty popular score for the entire round. Like I said, we'll catch you next week. Try not to punch a horse this week. Just throw popcorns at him like you have been doing.
Thanks, boys. Take care and have a great week. See you, everyone.
See you, buddy.
NRL Round Preview brought to you by Bluebet. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today.
And because that was recorded earlier by former legend at his Appy Coruscant Quarantine is Optional Studios, and I'm here in the Craig Gower Quarantine Studios, here's my tips for Round 20. Roosters to beat the Eels. Tigers to sneak home against the Warriors. Broncos will beat the Cows. Rabbitohs will absolutely flog the Dragons. Raiders to beat the Knights. Storm to flog the Panthers. The Titans in a close one over the Bulldogs. And the Manly Sea Eagles to beat the Sharkies. And it's this time every week we get a guest tipster from our Patreon subscribers. This week it's Jared. Thanks for your support, mate.
Hi guys, guest tipster and Patreon subscriber Jared here. My tips for this week are the Roosters over the Eels. I think with Sid's boyfriend Mitch Moses still out injured, I think the Roosters will be too strong. The Tigers to beat the Warriors. My Cowboys to get over the Broncos with former's boyfriend Jason Tamalolo putting in a man of the match performance. I think the Rabbits will put about 1,000 on the Dragons. Ricky's Raiders to get the job done over the Knights. And a sneaky rough punt with Josh Papawhili, first try scorer. Storm to beat Penrith with Cleary still out injured. I think Melbourne will be too strong. Titans to get over the Dogs and Manly to beat Cronulla. Thanks for having me on the podcast and thank you for all the effort and hard work you put in each week. Full credit to you, Sid and Former. Go the Cowboys.
Well, isn't that lovely, Sid? And Jared, just because you did say those kind words, we'll send your puppy back. So good stuff.
Some of these sounds like a hostage tape, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We don't prompt anyone to give us raps. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for your support. And if you want to be part of this, go to patreon.com. I made contact with everyone on Patreon yesterday, updating them with the tipping comp and other things. And tonight I'm going to stay up and get on the cans and produce some more content for all y'all. So nice. Get on there. patreon.com/FCTTB or something like that.
All right, let's do the boy sack.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy sack.
Yeah, the boy sack mail and feedback time, Sid. I'll just do the tipping comp before we do anything else.
Yep.
Go up. Obviously, it's on the NRL side. If you are on an NRL tipping comp, I think you can still join. If you just hit us up, we'll give you the code to join up. But if you're not up to about 111 tips, you're probably wasting your time, 111 out of whatever we're up to. But number one is Paul Croucher. He's back to number one, the San Benito Bullet. He's on 114. Shorey's Sheep, John Shaw, he's down to second. He's on 113. As is M. Graz, Michael Graz, he's on 113. Brett Cruikshank is on his Pat Malone on 112. We'll just go to fifth and sixth. Fifth is Geraldo, 42. He's on 111.
That's the top five. That's all we need to know about the top five.
And the sixth is... a bloke by the name of, I'll just see if I can read this, Former Legends. He is also on 111. And as they say in the motor racing world, if you're not sixth, you're last. So
you think you're going to have a crack, don't you? You think you're going to win this?
I think I'm a sniff.
I don't think so.
The only bloke that will tip the Bulldogs to beat the Tigers twice and Auckland once. So. That might get me over the line.
All or nothing, my friend. Have a crack.
No one remembers who ran sixth except me. What else have we got? I've got a one letter this week that you sent
Before you get to that, I sold a few membership packs during the week.
Oh, we still got those.
Yeah, it took me a while to post them, but I posted them yesterday, so they're on their way out to you. Thank you very much. And to our Patreon subscribers, I've run out of people that want to be in the tipping comp, and it's not because people don't want to be. It's just in my emails, when I had to cancel everyone's ticket to the live shows, I've now got 450 emails in my inbox. So I've kind of lost who else wanted to have a stab. So get in touch with me. We need more chicks as well. I'm looking at you, Sharky Liz. Thank you for your support. That's all I got.
One letter this week, and it comes from a bloke in Queensland named Appy. Not sure who his second name. Hi, Sid and Former. I'd like to apologise to everyone for my actions during the Origin camp. And just letting you know, now that Queensland Health is requesting photos from NRL families of balcony doors taped up, my missus makes me send her a picture of my cock taped to my leg every day. Thanks for your support, Appy.
Appy. There's so many Appies out there. I'm not sure who that's from.
Could be anyone.
Could be anyone. Jeez, we don't know.
That missus sounds like she's very forgiving. let's do a bit of trivia, Sid. I've got something for you.
Having trouble making conversation?
I really want to talk to Monique when she gets off the forklift, but I've got no banter.
When Dave finishes making his two-minute noodles, I'm going to say hi. But what do I say next?
Well, don't worry. Here's Former Legend with a fascinating fact, so you'll be the life of any social setting.
I've got three for you.
Oh, good.
See if you can guess the theme. It's a theme train tonight. how's this one? The world's largest recorded penis belongs to 41-year-old New Yorker Jonah Falcon, whose appendage measures 9.5 inches when it's flaccid, and 13.5 inches erect.
That guy has been blessed. And before his parents even knew, they called him Jonah Falcon. That guy was destined for the porn industry.
He's not doing porn with that name. I can't help him. How's this one? The left testicle usually hangs lower than the right for right-handed men, and the opposite is true for left-handed men.
Hang on. Just drop me trackies. Yeah, that's accurate.
I'll just have a look at mine. It seems I'm two-handed.
seems like you're going to have to go walk over to a mirror to check that out.
Two peanuts sitting down there. Dead set. And last one. Despite what men claim, mostly
short men who do podcasts, only 15% have a penis longer than 7 inches. Only 3% have a penis more than 8 inches long.
I'm always top of the pile, my friend, top of the pile. Top 1%. And, in most things I do.
Just before we finish up tonight.
Some action, baby.